Father, this morning we just say you're worthy. You're worthy of every breath that we have. And this morning we choose to give back the very breath that you breathed into us, Father. We choose to give it back to you and say you're great and you're mighty and you're worthy. You are worth it. God, we love you this morning. We say, great are you, Lord. Be glorified in our worship this morning, Lord. God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts as we hear your words spoken to us this morning, that you would let us open our ears to hear what you have to say. Move in our hearts. Move in this place, Lord. We love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So the Lord did an amazing thing this past week. We did the testimonies last week, the gospel presentations, and the total of people that viewed one of those six languages is 65,386. That's amazing. I had no idea that would be the number. I was thinking, you know, if a couple thousand watch it, it's worth doing. But I can't imagine 65,000 people watching the gospel last week. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is going to be like this. Guy's going to be out in the field, and he's going to be plowing, or he's going to be hoeing or doing something out there in that field. He obviously doesn't own the field. He's working for somebody. And he surprisingly stumbles upon a buried treasure. He sees that treasure. That treasure is greater than anything he's ever seen, had. And he sells everything he has to buy that field. The kingdom of God is like that when we express, when we embrace Jesus and discover what all we have in him. In the kingdom of God, it's greater than anything we own. We sell everything we have and we buy that field. He also talked about the searcher, the serious searcher of the pearl of great price. He's been hunting him a good pearl. He's been looking for a pearl. I saw in USA Today this week that there was a pearl that was found. They say maybe the biggest pearl that ever been found. Big old pearl. I can't imagine the clam that thing came out of, or however that works. And he's out there and he's seriously looking for the pearl of great price, and he finds it. And I mean, it's just like the first guy. He just sold everything to buy that one pearl of great price. Jesus said that's the way the kingdom of God is. So let's say, just be really, really pessimistic. Really, really pessimistic with these numbers. And let's say a good 50% of everybody that watched these is already saved. I'll give you that. Let's say that 30% of people that watched this, boy, it just disgusted them. It just disgusted them. You know, they're just not ready to receive. They just, for whatever reason, they're not there. But let's say that, let's just say that another 10% watched it, they went, that's interesting. And they didn't watch it all the way through or something. But let's just say that 10% that watched it, 5% of them were serious seekers of the Lord. And they watched this, and right now the Holy Spirit is teaching them, is guiding them, is wooing them. And there may be some already been saved. There may be someone that's going to be saved today. They're thinking about it. There's a real stirring life. Maybe there were some people that were just on Facebook, and they live in Phnom Penh, and we boosted, we paid $50 for the Cambodian presentation to some, I don't know how it works, but somehow or another it works. And it flooded their Phnom Penh's Facebook users like we were selling Duluth Trader underwear or something. And they saw it, and they didn't wake up and have any interest in that. They just woke up, and no telling what kind of condition of mindset they were in, but they watched it, and I'm here to tell you, it set them free. If only 10% that watched this, it really spoke to them, it really did something to them, that's 6,538 precious people. And that's really, really pessimistic of me. But I thought I'd start with 10% and let your optimism drive you nuts. That's really incredible. So keep on praying for the Lord to use that gospel presentation through the internet. I don't know who made the internet, but I'm thankful to them today. Get ready, be ready, stay ready. Get ready, be ready, stay ready. Say that with me. Get ready, be ready, stay ready. Let the Methodists hear you this time. Ready? Get ready, be ready, stay ready. How about the Church of Christ? A little further away. Don't scare them now. Get ready, be ready, stay ready. Get ready, be ready, stay ready. Get ready, be ready, stay ready. You got it down? Bryce, what are we saying? You reading it? Close your eyes and say it. A plus, you learn quickly. It'd take me a while to learn that. It's been taking me all week. I've been walking around going, get ready, be ready, stay ready. And you did it right away. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I've already heard this message once this morning in a Sunday school class. I laughed. Oh, man, I love it when that kind of stuff happens. Luke chapter 12. Jesus says, be ready for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you were waiting for your master return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn. But whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. This is speaking about a marriage. Now, there's a week-long list of festivities in the Jewish marriage ceremony process. There's a time, well, the betrothal even lasts longer than that. The engagement time lasts longer than that. But there is going to be a time when the groom is going to go to the bride's house and pick up the bride and bring the bride to his house. Now, the servants who are there helping the preparations for the bride and the groom to come, they don't know when that's going to happen. They don't know what time that's going to happen, but they are responsible to be ready. So, get ready, be ready, stay ready. Verse 39, understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. Now, that's Captain Obvious, right? If you knew someone was going to come and break in your house and steal your camel, you're going to lock up their house. You're going to protect your house. Now, you also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when you least expect. It's very important that believers in Jesus Christ get ready, be ready, and stay ready. It's very important that we recognize that Jesus is coming again, and He will come when least expected. He's going to come when least expected. Peter asked, Lord, is that illustration just for us or for everyone? And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth. The master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant thinks, my master won't be back for a while. And he begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. Oh my, that's a strong, strong warning. Strong warning there. And a servant, verse 47, who knows what the master wants but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required of them. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. Let's ask the Lord to help us to be open to His teaching here today. God, I pray that You'll guide and lead us. May Your Spirit reveal the truth to us. May we hear clearly what we need to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we have here today, the master will be gone, the master will return without warning, and the master will reward faithfulness, and he will punish unfaithfulness. That's what we've got to keep in mind here. And so we understand here that Jesus is saying to us, there are deadlines. Jesus was always teaching the disciples, there are deadlines. We don't have forever to get things going. We don't have forever to be faithful. We don't have forever to sort things out. There are deadlines. In ministry, in serving God, in worshiping God, and loving other people, and being committed to the kingdom of God, there are really three deadlines that I've experienced or I see in the Scripture. First of all, we have the deadline of death. Theirs or ours. It's a deadline. There are people in your life that need to be reached. There are people in your life that need the gospel presentation. There are people that you know, they're family and friends, and you have an assignment to be faithful to what you've been entrusted with, and there's a deadline on you being faithful to what you have been assigned, and it's called death, either theirs or yours. There's a limited amount of time. There are no guarantees. None of us know. We don't know when our time comes. We don't know when that happens. Life is like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. And so there's a deadline of death. There's also a deadline of open doors and closed doors. Open doors for the gospel. There are times in people's lives that they are open to hear. And then for reasons that I don't know, there seems to be times they're not willing to hear. Open times. College is a good open door for the gospel. The birth of a child is a good open door for the gospel. The loss of a loved one is a good opportunity for the door to be open for the gospel. The loss of any significance can be a great open door. It can also be a closed door, as we know in the Scripture, because sometimes problems close people off. The uncertainty of life is an open door. There's lots of things that the Spirit of the Lord uses to make people open to the good news about Jesus. There are also closed doors. I've seen it time and time again. An open door. People are interested. When you begin to talk with them, there's conversation. There seems to be movement happening. There seems to be possibility. And then all of a sudden, it just closes and there's no longer an opportunity. There's a deadline then. We only have so much time. Another reason to be faithful. And then, of course, in the Scripture today, we're seeing the return of Jesus. One thing the Bible is clear about in the return of Jesus is no one is going to know when that time is. No one is going to know. Jesus said He Himself didn't know when He was here. He didn't know when that day was going to come. It is a waste of time for people to calculate when that day is going to be. I remember getting a pamphlet in the mail back in the late 80s, and a guy had done a bunch of mathematics, and he had said that Jesus was going to return on this date. That date passed. He sent out another book and said he miscalculated, but he's got it right this time. And Jesus was going to come on this date. He didn't come. We're not to calculate the date. We're to be ready. Be ready. Get ready. Be ready. Stay ready. Jesus is going to come. 1 John 2:28 is an interesting scripture. It says, "And now, little children, abide in Him so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back from Him in shame at His coming." Oh my, the only way that I know this happened is people knew that there was a great possibility of His coming. They might even believe in His coming, but they weren't ready. There was much to be done, and it says that there will be shame at His coming. They're embarrassed when He returns because they hadn't been faithful. There are deadlines. Also, Jesus says in this scripture, we are responsible to carry out our assignments. We are responsible to carry out our responsibilities, our assignments. You're not responsible for what I'm responsible for. I'm not responsible for what you're responsible for. We're all responsible. Every believer, every child of the King has an assignment. We are to obey. We are to be God's children. We are to do the things that God has assigned us to do. It is not hard to find out what those assignments are. We simply got to look at the Bible and see what those assignments are. Our assignments are to worship God. Our assignments are to love others. Our assignments are to forgive our enemies. Our assignments are to pray. Our assignment is to make disciples. And it goes on and on and on. We are responsible for our assignment. Every single one of us. And also in this scripture in verse 48, Jesus says we're responsible for what we have been given. Every single one of us has been given a shape. We have been given at least one spiritual gift. We have been given a heart that cares. And God is at work developing that caring heart in us. We have been given abilities. You have certain abilities that God has put in your life. And you're responsible for those abilities. You have a personality. God has wired you to be like you are. God has put you in motion. He has put you in place. You have a personality that is the Lord's, is not yours. And you have had experiences. Susan has had experiences with grief. She's lost family, lost loved ones. She is a counselor. She knows stuff. She's fixing me. She's trying. Just be patient with her. And so she believes very clearly that she has a responsibility to help people grieve. She has gone through that process. She has learned about grief, and she's making herself available to teach all that will come to help them learn what grief is all about. That's why the house should be full. Now, you don't need to have a full house for that because of the way it works, but we have so many grievers, there's no way not to have grievers, that we need to be taking advantage of that. But she's being responsible for what God has placed in her life. She's got the spiritual gift for that. She's got the gift of discernment. She has a heart for that. She has the ability for that. She has the personality for that. And she's got the experience. And so she's making the most of the shape that she's given. You have been given a shape as well. You need to make the most of how you're shaped. Be responsible with it. It says very clearly here that if we have been given much, we will be required for what we've been given. And when someone has been trusted with much, even more will be required. So we are responsible for what we've been given. So take some inventory with that. What have you been given? How are you shaped? Your spiritual gift. Are you exercising what you've been called to do? Your heart. Are you fulfilling your heart's desire, what God has laid down on you, what He has scheduled you to do? Your abilities, your personality, your experiences. Are you being faithful to do what God has assigned you to do? We are responsible for what we've been given. In order for us to be faithful, in order for us to remain faithful, in order for us to get ready, be ready, and stay ready, and I'm probably talking more today from this point on about being ready and staying ready, it's very important that we are connected to Jesus. If you abide in me, I will abide in you, and connected to each other. God has given us His body for us to be connected with. We are connected to Christ, and we are to be connected with other believers. The people that I have observed through the years that struggle with staying ready and being ready are those people that are not connected to the body. They may be connected to Jesus, but they're not connected to the body. There's lots of reasons for that. Now, a lot of people struggle with getting to know other people in these days. That's why this technology thing has been so overwhelming in people's lives. We are all looking for the opportunity to escape from life. Mistake for us as believers. Mistake. It is God's plan that we are connected with Him and connected with other people. That's what helps us be faithful. That's what strengthens us. That's what guides us. That's what helps us to live through storms in this life. Now, people will be faithful to the Lord. They will be ready. They will be staying ready. They will be involved to a certain degree. And then all of a sudden, the lure of wealth takes them away. Problems take them away. Persecution takes them away. Or worry takes them away. That's from the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. We see it all the time, don't we? You think back to the life in the church, in our church, you've seen it happen. Now, the people who are most likely to be overcome with sin, to fall away, to become disconnected, are people who aren't truly connected in the first place. Now, we have a problem in our congregation, and that problem is people being connected. We believe that of the people that come here at least once a month, maybe twice a month, maybe three times a month, but the people that attend on a fairly regular basis, that only 30% of the adults and the youth are connected. It's our lifestyle. It's living in Aledo. It's the way we are. It's the fear of others. Now, one of the reasons that people have a difficult time connecting in our congregation or other congregations just like ours, one reason is the stress of making a living. Making a living takes a toll on people these days. Making the kind of living that you're used to takes a toll on families. The time that is involved, the stress that is involved, the problems that are involved in that. Another thing that takes its toll in connecting in this body of believers is kids in sports. It's a hard thing on our congregation. It's a hard thing for us to really mobilize God's army here and move forward. I think last week was a real good indicator of that. You know, we really said, y'all be here. Y'all just put aside everything, be here one Sunday. And we made an all-out effort to be here and had a great crowd. Good crowd today too, by the way. But a great crowd was last week because there was an intentional effort to be here from a lot of people. And it showed. And it was a beautiful time. But the kids in sports takes people away a lot of weekends a year. Doesn't matter what sport it is, it seems these days. It just takes families away. Kids in band in our community is a tremendous challenge for families. I mean, there's lots of commitment to the band. There's practice. There's competitions. There's events. And it's all-consuming. I remember last year talking with one of our band kids, and I said, how's it going at school? And they just, oh man, I'll be so glad when all this band stuff is over. Why? He says, I hadn't had a life. I'm just going and going and going, and I got to go next week. We're going to be gone all weekend playing the band. It's hard on the body of Christ. High school kids trying to make the top 10%. Y'all do know that if you're not in the top 10%, you're going to be a loser the rest of your life, don't you? You're not going to get to go to Texas. You're not going to get to go to A&M. You're not, and if you don't go to Texas A&M, you can't ever find a good job. It's the only people that have good jobs. Well, that's the mindset, right? And if you go to Baylor, wow, you won't ever have to work again. You know? And the tremendous pressure. And a kid makes a 96 and he's in the 25 percentile. Now, I know that's a good thing in our community. I know it is. I know the sports is a good thing in our community. I know the band is a good thing in our community. I know that all the activities that we have is a good thing for people. But because we're so competitive, because we're so driven, because we are a people that obviously in our community strive for excellence, man, there's a toll on that. And the body of Christ limps because of that. Because it becomes low on the list of priorities. Another problem that we have in connecting as a family is the distance between our homes. It's hard to connect when you don't see each other except on school events or church. Hard to connect. We're scattered out. I live about 7 or 8 miles from the church. Some of you live 7 or 8 miles that way. I live 7 or 8 miles that way. That's 16 miles apart. It's a big area. That has a deal. And I believe the loss of ability to connect with others seems to be a lost skill in these days. That's why in our new members class, I teach that intimate, superficial with the trough down the deal that I taught the men's conference this past year. Man, we're not willing to go through the trough, the valley of junk, and stay with each other and be true friends with them when they're betrayed, when they're hurt, when they lose loved ones, when they go through hard times. I mean, we are so stressed out making a living, being the best linebacker, being the best trumpet player, being the best algebra student. We're so stressed out in every aspect of life. It doesn't matter what age it is, that the ability to make true, close friends is lost. And it impacts our church because we are to be close friends with each other. We are to have close friends that are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are family. We are to be family. A family's not a family if it never has heart-to-heart conversations. It's just family in name only. And I'm afraid too much of what we have going on in our church family is we're family in name only. And when we have new members come and we say, when one part suffers, we all suffer, and one part rejoices, we all rejoice, to a certain extent, those are only words. Because of making a living, being top 10, being the best linebacker, being the best trumpet player, having kids in those deals, paying our property taxes, living that dream life that we have, all that's going on that's making life difficult, and then throw in problems and persecution and difficulties and the lure of wealth and the lure of getting ahead, we find ourselves just absolutely all alone when life happens. As a pastor, I'll get a phone call and someone has an emergency surgery or is in the hospital. This happened Tuesday. I got a phone call that Evan Bukadoom was having a seizure and it was scary and all those kind of things. Susan and I rushed to the hospital. When we got to the hospital, there were already six or seven people there for Megan and Alan and Evan. You know why? They're connected. They're connected. I've had the same phone call. So-and-so is having an emergency appendicitis, whipping it out deal. I go down there. And all that's there is the wife or the husband, and no one else is down there. You know why? They're not connected. They're not connected. I love it when our people are connected. When they're not connected, it's up to me or others like me. And it's hard. It's better. One of the reasons why you need to be connected is so when life happens, you're connected. God uses that. So, we need to be committed, connected. I'm making a commitment to you. I believe I've always had that commitment, but boy, we're going full tilt. We are committed, as pastor, I'm committed that every attender will be connected. Now, I know that perfection is unattainable, but we're going for it. Every one of you will be connected. Every one of you will be connected. Or you will be hounded to death. Number two, our elders and our staff at the church here are committed to every member connecting. And one of the keys that we have done is we have placed our executive pastor on staff, and Ken is doing a great job, and he is working diligently to get us all connected. We know that being connected here requires organization, and we're at work doing that. You must be committed to connecting. You've got to be committed to connecting. You've got to know the importance of being connected. Being connected means you're going to have people in your life. Being connected means that you are going to have people in your life helping you be faithful. Getting ready, being ready, and staying ready. You're going to have a real hard time staying ready, being faithful. And you see here in the Scripture, we are responsible for what we've been given. And you need to be connected. We have three different ways for you to be connected here. We've got Sunday school classes, adults, children, and youth. Take advantage of those opportunities. I've been to every one except one now of our adult classes in Sunday school, and every one of them are good. Every one of them are different, but every one of them are good. Good teachers, good fellowship, good things going on, working trying to hold on to people, working trying to help people to be faithful, working to help others be connected. It's a beautiful thing. We also have grow groups. And grow groups, we've got 20 groups that meet in various places for about 150 people every week are meeting with grow groups. Grow groups are men with men and women with women. And a grow group gets together, and it's a smaller group. It's in a cafeteria. It's in a diner. It's in a upper room. It's at the church. It's different places where men and women come together, and they get in the Word. And we are starting next 2 weeks from now, Connect Groups. Connect Groups are groups that meet in homes through the week. They meet in homes. So, the ideal is that every single attender in our congregation will be connected in one of these groups. Here at the church on Sunday morning, in a grow group or in a connect group. Or in a Sunday school class here on Sunday morning and in a grow group, which is really a big deal for us. You see, Jesus had 12 disciples. He had a small group. I would call that a connect group or a Sunday school class group. He had three in a group as well. He had Peter, James, and John that he took on special trips with him, and he spent special time with them. I consider that a grow group. Okay? But at least one, everyone is involved in. Okay? Now, you're looking at me going, man, I'd love to do that, Pastor Lee, but my daughter plays volleyball 10 weekends a year. Or my son plays baseball, and we're gone so much. All right, let's approach that. Now, we filmed last week the presentation, and 65,000 people viewed it. So we've got the technology here to do that. We've been using technology. We've improved on the technology. It's now in the middle. It's not as hard to watch. We're going to hopefully keep on improving on it. It'll probably never be like CBS, but that's not our goal. And I don't look good on TV neither. It's hard to deal with. But it's what you got. So, I've got a good plan, a better plan, and a best plan. The good plan. You got a schedule that keeps you gone on Sundays, but we need you to be connected. It's hard enough for you to be connected in our ministry if you're gone all the time. Right? You have a schedule that keeps you out many Sundays here. So the good plan is you are so limited on time, and this year we can't get you for whatever reason to change some of the priorities, and so that's just the way it is. But we don't want to lose you. We don't want to not connect with you. We don't want you facing life all alone. Okay? So we have a good plan. So throughout the course of the week, you would watch the live stream. That would help you be connected here. That will help you stay in tune with what the Lord is doing here. And so, let's say that you would get your family together, you play softball all weekend long, you get home on Sunday night, you're too tired to do anything, so you go to bed. Maybe on Monday night, you get all your family together, or Tuesday night, or I don't care when it is, and you sit down and you watch the video. And then you discuss with your family what you've heard, what's going on. We will even, if you sign up with Ken, we will send you a listening guide or a study guide. You'll have the message notes. You'll have some other information that goes with that. It would help you discuss the lesson here today. And so you listen to the sermon, whoever's speaking, you listen to what they're talking about, and then you discuss it. And as a family, you connect with each other and you hold on to each other. Now, we have a better plan. A good plan, a better plan. Now, I know that sounds kind of, I'm not doing the better deal, but I don't know how to do it. So don't get too bent out of shape about that. This is all I know to do. I'm limited. Better plan. Because you miss so many Sundays, you will watch the service and you'll be connected throughout the week in one of the connection groups. Isn't that beautiful? You look at your deal and you go, you know, I'm every time I'm in town, I'm going to be at the worship service because that's important for me to be physically connected with each other. It's not good when people say that the TV preacher is their church. He's not going to come see them when they stub their toe. I'm not either, but But if it's serious, I'll come. If you stub your toe, you're on your own. I mean, don't stub your toe, right? But if you need help, we're going to respond. Others are going to respond, right? And so the better plan is, when you do have to miss, you watch it, and then you're involved in one of the connect groups. We've got one that meets on Monday, one that's going to meet on Tuesday, one that's going to meet on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every day of the week, hopefully, there's going to be one of these connect groups. And of course, the best plan is, as much as you can, you're here and you meet in one of our on Sunday morning Sunday school classes. Why do I say that's the best plan? Well, I don't know. I just distinguish them. They're all the best plan. If you're connected, we're all for it, whatever it takes. But you need to take advantage of what's available to you for you to have all the help you need to be faithful. Now, this is not a perfect church. There's not any perfect people here. There are people here that will rub you wrong. There are people here that may not be what you think people ought to be. That's just the way we are. We're just like everyone else, ordinary people who are saved by grace, who are growing in Christ. None of us are perfect. Not one of our small groups is perfect. So what you got to do is you got to get out of your car, walk up to the front door, and ring the doorbell, and when they open the doorbell, you walk in. And you sit down, and you participate, and you let the Lord do what He's going to do with you in that small group. Let the Holy Spirit strengthen you. When you come to church, if you're not involved in a small group now, what you've got to do is wake up a little extra, come to church, be here no later than 9:25, and you've got whatever Sunday school class it is, you've got to walk down that hallway, you've got to come to that door, and you've got to walk in and mix it up with all the crazies that's in that room. And you've got to give them an opportunity. There may be times that she doesn't look at you. Well, her kid was up all night. There may be times that someone says something that hurts your feelings. Well, we have morons. Okay? That's just the way it is. But if we're going to be responsible, if we're going to be faithful, and if we're going to be trusted like Jesus says for us to, there are, of course, many things that we could talk about today, but one thing is really, really important. We must be connected. And in order for you to be connected, whatever it is that's keeping you from being connected, you've got to get over it. We've got to get ready, be ready, and stay ready. There's a deadline. You've got to get ready, be ready, and stay ready. There's only so much time that we have. You need to be the most effective believer you can be. You need to be, however you're shaped, you need to be refining that. The rough edges may need to be knocked off. Whatever it is, the life lessons need to be learned. The faith lessons need to be learned. If there's areas of life that you're disobedient, that small group will help you learn to be obedient. The Holy Spirit will use that. You can't not be connected. And if nothing else, when life happens for you, there are people in your life. There are people in your life.